You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for the Democratic evaluation of the third and final presidential debate, which was held Wednesday night on the campus of Hofstra University. What did Barack Obama accomplish? What did John McCain accomplish? And how does the next 19 days unfold? With me now to talk about it, Michael Lewin, former chief of staff to Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman, now a partner in the Washington office of Brown Rudnick, and he's a longtime Democratic activist and strategist. Michael, always great to have you with us.
Yes, and today I'm a smiling longtime Democratic strategist. Tis a good time to be a Democrat.
Well, what was your overall assessment of last night's debate? Obviously, the situation was that domestic issues were the topic du jour, and the economy obviously has been the main topic at all three debates, even the foreign policy debate. John McCain, more aggressive, going after Obama's tax plan. Joe the plumber, clearly the focal point during a lot of the discussion of the debate. But in the end, which candidate do you think left voters with a better impression of what they would do?
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good debate, all in all, compared to the first two, which I found less than interesting over the hour and a half that they went on. And I think a lot of credit goes to Bob Schieffer, who did a particularly good job of asking good questions, keeping them focused, and had good follow-ups. I was most impressed last night with Obama in this sense, not particularly with his answers, but his demeanor on stage. He is under attack, and I think McCain attacked him hard and often. He is cool, calm, and collected. And I think those are qualities that a lot of Americans who were a bit unsure of who Obama is and what makes him tick reassure them that he is indeed ready to be president. So I think perhaps for Obama it was a good night, less because of what he said, but because of how he looked and behaved on stage. Now, that's to take nothing away from McCain, who had, I think, a pretty good debate. Certainly the first third and, if you will, the last part of the debate. In the middle, I think he lost it a bit when he started going on those sort of negative attacks, talking about the terrorist from 1960s and some of those other things. And that's just, I think, makes McCain unflattering, and it doesn't show his best when he does that. And I think that's been reflective as part of the negative campaign that he has run over the last couple of weeks. Part of the reason his numbers are dropping because people just don't like what they see in him.
Michael, do you get the sense that when McCain talks about Bill Ayers and the Weather Underground from the Vietnam era and even Acorn and its very questionable voter registration activities today, that it's an issue people don't think is legitimate, or given the economic situation right now, it just pales in comparison to what they really want to hear?
Well, almost everything pales in comparison to what's going on in the economy. But even if the economy weren't quite in the condition it is, I suspect most American voters, with two wars going on, with an uncertain economy, with lots of change in the air, are really much more interested in what Obama can do for them, not where he might have been in the 1960s or 70s, or some very tangential relationship with a community group, this Acorn group. I think McCain misses the boat by doing this. He's a good man and potentially could have been a very good candidate. I think he could have really perhaps won this election if he were the old straight-talking express John McCain that we saw back in 2000 when he ran against George Bush in the primaries, and indeed early on in the primary season here. He has lost that, and I think that's a large part of why this election seems to be in jeopardy for him.
Well, Michael, you've run enough campaigns to know that 19 days is not too short a time for something to significantly change the political dynamics. But given where we stand right now, what should Obama and Joe Biden focus on in terms of maintaining their apparent lead nationwide and in virtually all the key battleground states?
Yeah, well, I think the economy. Because that is what everybody is talking about, no matter where you go. Listen, in any coffee shop around the country, people are concerned about the economy. Focus on that. Talk about other parts of the economy that are meaningful, which I think the candidates did last night. Education, health care, things like that are important to people. And most importantly, don't lose their cool under attack. Be as unflappable as Obama was last night. I think that's a special insight to Joe Biden, who occasionally can get a little flip and try to be funny. I don't think this is the time to make that kind of a mistake. And I suspect if they focus on the economy in the sort of the thoughtful and calm way they've been doing it heretofore, they will have a victory on Election Day. And I think, by the way, it'll be a substantial Electoral College victory, even if the ultimate percentage separation between Democrats and Republicans is fairly modest.
Michael, you live in the state of Virginia, where obviously it's been a battleground state, but the polls are showing Obama opening up a statistically significant lead there. What do you make of that, as well as apparently Republican incumbents around the country getting into tougher races than they thought they had on their hands?
Yeah, well, I'm shocked to hear what CNN reported yesterday and today, that it's a 9 or 10 point lead for Obama in Virginia. He may win Virginia, but it'll be a lot closer than that. Look, Virginia is a changing state. A lot of new voters. I think 500,000 new voters registered this year. Most of them are young. They're new to the state, perhaps even new to the South. So it's a very different kind of look. And I think Virginia has had a history in the last few years with very successful Democratic politicians, both Governor Warner and Governor Kaine, now Senator Jim Webb. There, even a few years ago, was a bit of a fear to vote for a Democrat. I think that's recessed, and I would not be the least bit surprised if by a point or two, Virginia becomes a blue state this year. And just in terms of other Republicans around the country, it's surprising, maybe even shocking, if it holds, how the floor is dropping out under Republicans, or particularly in the Senate races. And on my count, Greg, there are 11 Republican senators that are either behind their Democratic opponents in polling or statistically in a dead heat. And these are senators who are otherwise relatively popular, and indeed from conservative Republican states, places like Kentucky and Georgia and Mississippi.
Well, we'll keep tracking it, and we'll be following it on election night as well. Michael, thanks so much for being with us.
Always a great pleasure, Greg. Thank you.
Michael Lewin, former chief of staff to Senator Joe Lieberman, now a partner in the Washington office of Brown Rudnick, longtime Democratic activist and strategist. This is Dateline Washington.